listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. With us today, Kristen Palpini, Lifestyles Editor with the Berkshire Eagle, and Rick Hurst, Publisher of an African-American Point of View. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
This week, Massachusetts Democratic U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren released results of a DNA test, which she says proves her Native American heritage. That has been the subject of controversy during Warren's political career and even taunts from President Trump. Meanwhile, her Republican challenger in November's election, Jeff Deal, renewed his call for Warren to leave the Senate race.
It just shows how extensive her efforts are right now to make a run for 2020 as a presidential campaign. And I think that just highlights what we've been saying all along, and that she's not focused on working for Massachusetts.
A few weeks ago, Warren did acknowledge she would give a presidential run a hard look after November's election. So, Kristen, is releasing these test results indeed a move by Warren to start clearing the deck for a presidential run? I mean, she purposely restarted the conversation about this very topic.
Yeah, she definitely did. But it kept coming up. Trump just was not going to let this die. I personally am not thrilled that she had to take a DNA test to prove her family history. I just don't think that's something that she had to do. But you know, Obama got followed by the birther movement. She didn't want to have to deal with something like that.
Rick, your take?
Well, I think she was smart to do it. In the short run, it's going to look a little strange, but in the long run, I think it'll serve her well, especially if she knows how to handle a bully like Trump. You know, you got to have your weapons ready, and you got to wield them when the time comes. And I think that's one of the points she understood early on. This guy will keep coming if she doesn't hammer him with something like that.
Kristen, just to follow up, we heard, of course, this week from some Cherokee leaders who weren't really thrilled about this move by Warren. What do you think about that?
I agree with them. Establishing your native heritage in the United States can be really difficult. And I think it's been unfair for some folks to get recognized. So I can understand the hard feelings.
Rick?
Well, I understand the hard feelings, but I don't really buy it. She's only talking about what that small part of her heritage. She's not trying to hurt anybody, and she's not trying to claim that she's tribal, only that she has Indian blood, and I sympathize with her because I do too. And my family talked about it for decades and over generations. I know exactly where it is. But when I took that DNA test, I had less than 1% Indian blood. So it was a big thing with the family, but it wasn't a big thing with my DNA test. I see Warren's point.
State officials met recently with employees of the Hampden County Courthouse over concerns the building is making people sick. One judge who worked there died in 2013 of ALS, and another came down to the same disease and recently retired. The Republican reports tests show he had lead and mercury levels in his system far above normal. The state plans to test employees and run environmental screenings on the building. Rick, is this an adequate response by the state?
No, it's not an adequate response. What they need to do is replace the building. And that has been the case for many, many years. I knew Judge Coomer, and I knew Judge Boyle. And I was very close to Boyle. And, I mean, these seem to be very healthy guys. And all of a sudden, this kind of thing develops. Boyle especially was a great athlete. And so there's something seriously wrong. And we all knew the building was decaying. We just didn't realize that it could potentially be a deadly problem.
Of course, Robert Coomer was the judge who passed away, and William Boyle, the judge who recently retired. Kristen, what's your take? We've heard from a lot of people over the years who have said the same thing that Rick has, that the building needs to be replaced.
Yeah, and I think that getting the environmental tests and testing the employees is the first step there. You got to have your data before you can do that. But yeah, it's far past time.
This week, state gambling regulators released business figures from the first full month at the MGM Springfield Casino. It brought in $27 million in September, and on a daily basis, revenues were down 32% from opening week in August. That's a similar trend to another casino MGM opened in Maryland a few years ago. Kristen, MGM officials say their Springfield resort is on track financially. What do you think about the numbers?
I think it makes sense. You know, I don't know the average drop that a business has after its first week. But, everybody's excited at first. You all rush out. And then I think it's just natural there's a drop. Is it sustained? Is it going to go up again? I don't know.
And Rick, the state received $7 million alone in gambling tax revenue from MGM last month. And the state does have a lot banking on those revenues, of course, increasing in the next few years. How watchful of an eye should state leaders keep on the business going on at this facility?
Well, I think they should keep a sharp eye on it, but I don't think they should rely on it either. I think it's a good windfall, and that's how we should handle it, as a windfall and not as something for the normal budget. We don't know how it's going to go, although I do think that the casino is going to continue to make money. I was not impressed by the fact that the revenue fell. That's obvious why it fell. The first time, everybody was excited. I was down there. I watched people. I was down there for 3 days of the first 4 days. And the crowd initially was just huge and energetic. There are still crowds down there almost on a regular basis. I think this is going to be a staple, a very positive staple for Springfield.
Kristen Quick, how should state leaders look at this when they also compare the budget? Should they take a more of a conservative eye, or should they try to hope for the best and budget that way?
I think Rick's idea of treating it as a windfall is smart because, you know, it's going to be big and then we don't know. So don't bet on it.
Well played, Kristen. And finally this week, the Red Sox clinched a berth in the World Series after defeating the Houston Astros in 5 games in the American League Championship Series. The series will start on Tuesday night at Fenway Park. And Rick, will you be watching the World Series as the Red Sox continue their run?
Yeah, I've watched all the playoff games, and it's very exciting to watch. I mean, this seems to be the real deal, the Red Sox team. And I don't think this is going to happen again for a long time for any team. And so, yes, I will be watching. And especially I'm going to watch Price and see if he can pull off this thing a second time.
David Price pitching a great game last night,
that's
Rick.
That's right.
Hey, Kristen, will you be following the Sox as they try to bring home a fourth title to Boston in the last century? Try that. The century's only, of course, 18 years old. But, you know, after waiting 86 years, that's something else, isn't it?
It's a nice start. I'm a Yankees fan, so I had hoped for a different World Series, but since they're not there, go Sox.
Go Sox indeed. All right, Kristen Palpini with the Berkshire Eagle and Rick Hurst with an African-American Point of View, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time, wherever you get your podcasts, or at nepr.net/podcast. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.